This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop and Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming on YouTube too at the Team 980. And it is our pleasure, especially considering how this game ended, to go back and revisit the weekend for the Terps one more time with the man who was sitting in the analyst chair to watch the Terps get to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016. It's Robbie Hummel from CBS Sports. Robbie, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So let's go. Let's start at the end. Let's start with the Derrick Queen game winner. What was it like for you to be sitting there with Lisa and Jalen and experience that moment courtside on the mic?
Yeah, I mean, it was just an incredible shot, really an incredible game. You know, the Colorado State shot that Jalen Lake makes is just, you know, it's a contested three that felt like it hung in the air forever. And, you know, I love that Kevin Willard just kind of put that in. Granted, he asked Derek, you know, who wants the ball, and he was adamant that he did. But I love that they gave him space and said, go make a play. And that's not an easy shot, driving left, shooting it off the glass, you know, with your right hand. But yeah, just an incredible moment, an incredible moment for Maryland. And certainly I think for all teams that make a run in the NCAA tournament, you've got to find a way to win a game that you don't play all that well in. And I don't think Maryland's played that well. You know, they looked a little shaky the first 4 minutes of their first round game and looked a little bit shaky against Colorado State, but you find ways to win. They've, you know, been great all season long, and what an accomplishment to make it to the Sweet 16 and hopefully, you know, go a little bit further, because Florida is good, but certainly Maryland has the talent to beat them.
Well, and that's been the thing with this Maryland team, right? And you're a guy, obviously, pays very close attention to the Big Ten. And this is a team that on any given night seemingly can beat anyone. And they can do it in so many different ways. But that's kind of seemed to be a double-edged sword for them. Like, what to you is the best version of this Maryland team? Like, who's the offense running through? What are some of the key things that they're doing that shows that they're at their best on any given day?
A good question, because honestly, all five of those dudes in the starting lineup can get it going. And I guess I would say probably when Jacoby Gillespie is just kind of playing with tempo and spraying it around and scoring for himself. You know, although I think that Rodney Rice's struggles a little bit showed how important that he is when he's not maybe himself, how they look a little bit different. But early on in that Colorado State game, I felt like none of Maryland's guards were playing well. I didn't think Gillespie was playing well. Rodney Rice was, you know, really struggling with his jumper. He got it going eventually in that game. And Selton Miguel didn't start off well. But yeah, I love watching them play, because they have five guys on the floor most of the time that can really burn you. They guard. The only thing I would say is, you know, depth and foul trouble are where this team can get in trouble. If they were to get in that stuff, that's an issue, because they just don't have, I guess, from a firepower standpoint. They've got some guys that can come in and plug some holes, but it's definitely a drop-off when the starting five is not on the floor.
Robbie Hummel, CBS Sports college basketball analyst for the NCAA tournament, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So this is what always I think is such a fun conundrum for college basketball, Robbie, is you go to some of the older guys, you go to the guards, and then there's this guy, Derrick Queen, who's going to be a top 8 pick probably here in a couple months in the NBA draft. And it's like, I don't know, feels like we should probably go through him too. So what do you think if you're Willard, and especially, you know, I was talking about this with some of our folks yesterday who watch this team on a really regular basis, and the callers and the whole deal here on the radio in DC, is like, how do you balance wanting to make sure that you get certainly your most talented guy the ball, but acknowledging he is a big, albeit a very skilled one, but a big who is very, very young? And, you know, how much do you want to, especially given the season they've had where they've been so balanced, rely on that one singular elevated talent?
Yeah, I think Kevin's done a great job of kind of like balancing this whole thing out. And I also think that all five of those starters have done a terrific job of understanding, like, we're going to take turns. And you know what? On certain nights, if Derek's got it going, yeah, we're going to feed him. Or if Julian's got it going, we're going to get him the ball. Or whoever, you know, whoever out of those five guys. So it takes a little bit of teamwork and certainly a great understanding that we can be great together. But they've been willing to sacrifice. And I think also for all five of those guys in the starting lineup, they get their opportunities. You know, they've all five had great seasons. But it's just kind of understanding who's got it going on a certain night and who does the game plan maybe kind of say that we're going to go to. You know, it was apparent in the first game Maryland played, Julian Reese was going to get those touches, especially when they started out slow. He got them back on track. So yeah, kudos to them for being willing to give it up for the team. And certainly Kevin has got those guys to understand you're all going to get your shots. It's just, you know, let the game come to you.
If you think about it through a game plan lens for the matchup against Florida, is there a particular angle that you think could be advantageous for Maryland?
You know, I don't know about advantageous because I think Florida's one of the best teams in college basketball. Sure. They've got size, they've got athleticism, they've got guards that can go. I just think that Maryland needs to play their best game of the year. And that's not a profound statement, but from a being solid standpoint, from a not turning the ball over standpoint, and they've been pretty good at that this season of taking care of it. You know, I think the mixing and matching of defense that they've done is something that you can try to keep Florida off balance. You know, if you score, set up some of that full court pressure to try to keep Florida from getting out and going, but you're going to have to defend Walter Clayton. Like that dude is a problem, and it showed in their win. I'm blanking on who they beat Sunday, but he had hit some just major shots down the stretch. And yeah, that's the tough thing about covering the tournament is you don't get to see as much of the other games other than what you're doing. But I was watching in my hotel room, and I'm forgetting who it was against, but Clayton is, man, he is a pro.
UConn is who they
at the
end of that game, which a game, we were talking about this yesterday, a game that took about, I don't know, 25, almost 30 minutes for the final 4 minutes to tick off the clock. So that was,
well, you know, the reviews are all of our favorite parts of college hoops.
There is nothing. And hey, you, Robbie, you got the best seat in the house. You're just looking over across from the broadcast table, staring at referees behind, looking at a monitor. So that's gotta be fun for you. Robbie Hummel's with us here from CBS Sports. I'm sorry, I just put you in that position, Robbie. He's never coming back to the show, but we'll keep him as long as he doesn't hang up on us for the next 4 minutes. Robbie, you mentioned it's hard to keep an eye on the rest of the tournament, but you know, whether it's on the off days, I remember covering the tournament back when I was a younger broadcaster going to some of these things, and you wind up getting so wholly consumed in your sight. But whether it's what you were able to watch on an off day or some of the other teams that you saw in that region that you had, who's the most impressive team, most impressive player that you think you've seen so far through the opening weekend?
Yeah, you know, you're totally right. You just don't get to watch all that much, which is a bummer because as a fan, I love the NCAA tournament. You know, I saw Arizona. Caleb Love was tremendous against Oregon. And I know he's polarizing. I know he's had some unbelievable ups as a college player. He's had some unbelievable downs. But yeah, the way he played with a maturity all weekend long, and Arizona's got some super athletes. You know, they're going to have their hands full with probably the tournament favorite in Duke, who's had just a phenomenal year, and John Shire has been tremendous of coaching that team, and certainly Cooper Flagg is the best, you know, prospect that we've seen in quite some time. But yeah, Arizona was impressive to me. I'm trying to think who I really have gotten to watch. It's not a lot. So yeah. It's like I saw them a lot. I know Auburn handled business. I'm intrigued to see if we get Michigan State and Auburn. You know, Michigan State has kind of gotten back to their roots all season long with the running and the rebounding, and they really guard you. They've got the physicality and the depth to handle, I think, Jahni Broome. You know, not stop him, but at least you can throw the waves of bodies that Tom Izzo has at his disposal. So if we get that matchup, I think that would be incredibly intriguing.
When we had our mutual friend Kevin Brown on the show last week, and he was telling us to expect a very chalky tournament. That, you know, you look at, for instance, the KenPom ratings and just how elite these top teams are historically over the last 15, 20, 25 years compared to any other concentration of top teams, that this is kind of what we'd expect. Sure enough, we get to the second weekend and there's one double-digit seed going. Outside of the one seeds, would you say that Michigan State is your favorite non-one seed in terms of actual true title contenders, or, you know, whether it's a team like your alma mater, Purdue, down at the four line, anybody else floating around outside the one line that you're like, I really am keeping an eye on that squad?
No, I think it's Michigan State. And I think you factor into who's their coach and how much success he's had in this tournament and just how good Michigan State has been all season long. I think that's the team that I would certainly go with. And interesting, I'm not surprised that Kevin would be, you know, prophetic by digging into the facts of KenPom. I mean, that dude right there, he's on it.
He is.
I would stay with Michigan State. That would be my pick.
All right, let me wrap up with this, circling back to Maryland then real quick. Robbie Hummels with the CBS Sports Analyst. Of course, there's this kind of other thing floating over Maryland right now with the Willard extension talk and this public back and forth between him and the school, him wanting more resources. Could you feel that at all being around that team this weekend? And how do you think that you would be managing that as a player, especially like if you're a senior leader, you're a guy like Julian Reese, and you're probably getting asked about it or sitting next to Kevin in the press conference as he's asked about it? And how do you think that that Willard's handling it so far?
Yeah, I didn't feel any of that from the team or any. I saw what he said. And I think from a player perspective, everything is so one-year oriented now that I don't think it even phases these guys.
Fair.
But I do think, you know, my last year at Purdue, Matt Painter almost went in the off season to Missouri, and it was so close. Like I should honestly ask him, like, how close were you to going? And, you know, I was coming off my second ACL tear, and Juwan Johnson and Etwan Moore, who I came into Purdue with, were playing in the NBA at this point. So I was like, man, everybody has left from the time that I got hurt to the time that I'd be coming back. Everyone else that was in the starting five, you know, with me on that team, my junior year, was gone. And if we're going to lose the head coach too, you know, I was distraught. Like, so I remember trying to call him and trying to guilt him to not leave. Now, granted, it is a different time now with the player movement and all of that. But I do compare this a little bit. You know, Matt Painter did not feel like he had the resources to win at Purdue. And I say that from a standpoint of, we had an assistant coach that left Purdue to go to Clemson. And it's not like, you know, it's not like you're losing an assistant to Kentucky or to a school that's really like a basketball school. Clemson, you're thinking about football. And they've got, you know, they've had their run. They're, you know, they're a team that has made runs in the NCAA tournament. But it's not like the money was that much more. It was just, I think that was an eye-opening experience for him to lose a guy to a school that's not a basketball power, that's not going to throw out a crazy number of money to a guy. And he just didn't feel – so I think that he used that to kind of leverage to get to a place where, all right, if I'm going to stay, I need this, this, and this to win. And I kind of feel it's similar for Kevin. I know the Villanova job being open probably does not help, and Kevin being a Big East guy has certainly fueled that speculation, or a guy that coached in the Big East for a long time at Seton Hall. But yeah, I think it's fascinating from the outside looking in. I don't think it's distracting the players. You know, I do see a similarity from what I saw in 2011 of Matt Painter saying, this is what I need to win. And I do understand that the landscape has changed in a major way since then. But I just get the feeling that Kevin kind of has the same feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Robbie, that call would be like, hey, coach, if you go to Mizzou, how much money you think you can get me there versus if I stay?
Yeah, no doubt about that. I loved Kevin's reaction, though, to Queen saying, well, he pays us the money. And his head is buried in his hands. That was pretty funny.
It was. It's also not wrong. And, you know, hey, it's like, how are you going to get the kids to pay attention if you're paying them? It's like, well, they got to know where the money comes from. And apparently,
that's
Kevin
true.
Miller is the moneymaker at Maryland. So we'll see if Maryland thinks that with giving him the extension. Robbie Hummel, be on. Do you guys have your game assignments? I don't know if they're public. I'm not trying to spill secrets.
No, they are.
Where you can watch.
I will be in Indianapolis doing the national radio for Westwood One. So we got Houston, Purdue, and we got Tennessee, Kentucky.
Nice. Well, enjoy that. It'd be fun, I'm sure, for you to be around Matt Painter and your alma mater. So enjoy that, and really appreciate your time here on the radio in D.C., Robbie. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.